time for another DoNutGod.com video presentation. Yes, the bleak reality. That's sort of what's sought in this exercise, is understanding, okay, that there's nothing to be very optimistic about, and optimism is kind of a belligerent insult to, kind of the horror of the story of life on Earth and what the poor bugs have endured in terms of being just fodder for the, modification of a DNA molecule into some sort of structure that eventually could have, all knowledge built into it. And all knowledge would be pretty much useless because the answer to the puzzle is kind of simple, and it's sort of the word, there's just stupid. There isn't anything else to do here. It's stupid. The whole thing is stupid. It's a stupid game played by stupid animals. And intelligence just... Yes, it makes you capable of playing, imitating a retard better than the retards. But that's not much of a use of intelligence, right? To pretend you're stupid. My opinion. It's a real insult to intelligence for intelligence to use intelligence to mimic, very well. Stupid. And be very successful at being stupid. So the stupid part is that, yes, it's evolution. We're still just bugs, okay? Designed machines, gladiators, all of us wearing our little colors representing our DNA configuration and fighting for success in the sense of... procreation into the future, in some sense. That's what the DNA is after. Obviously, we can convert our bug existence into, we can modify that retarded design. The design where you murder, you mass murder children, to get what you want, to get your success. I won. I only had to kill a bunch of kids to do it. Yeah, that's the stupid part, by the way. So we're all seeking something a little bit different, because we're made to be seekers, to go out into the world and seek control of it, to make it change to our comfort. To create our umbrellas and our roofs and our protection from the bad guys, and somehow pick up all the little pieces of gold that are available for picking up, seek our Easter eggs, hunt for our gratification. And, so that's a whole nother subject in terms of what people are hunting for, their mommy and daddy's approval. They're just hunting for that look in her eye, when she looks at me. They're hunting for, symbols and images and things. They just want toys. They want something. Something to maintain the illusion that they're functioning well, some evidence that they're accomplishing, and for some, the definition of accomplishment is rather meager, in terms of just saying, I survived, I didn't get the plague today, some kind of, always defendable. I'm doing better than that guy, some way to instill in the sense of accomplishment and purpose and utility in continuing to function. To play the game of, you know, seek some stupid thing, distract yourself from the bleak reality, you know, so you can feel comfortable enough, you know, to enjoy playing, seeking and obtaining, and seeking and obtaining and seeking and obtaining, and, you know, just doing your little bug thing, getting rewarded for playing the game in these little subtle emotional ways. So it is, the truth is a bleak story, and so every part of it's bleak, and because every part of it is based on the fact that it's not a designed game. And the fact is that we're, you know, there is this precious commodity of torture that's being used to create, the win of not torture. You know, and that's the really, really, really stupid part. You know, that we're actually playing a game that doesn't really have a real victory in it. It's just really evading failure, the nature of it. So, I mean, if this little piece of the truth is understood by a human, they, I think, would obviously say, well, shit, I'm not going to impose this on anybody else, because this is really a stupid game to be playing. It's just really dumb. Really unproductive, insufficiently efficient. This ain't nearly good enough. This isn't what we should be doing. So you can look at these different perspectives about what humans have done over the past 10,000 years, and you could argue that this is admirable, you know, that they've gone to a lot of trouble, done a lot of hard work to try to pick reality out of the noise, the environment, and find something like the truth. And so there's a whole chunk of humanity who says the truth, they already found it, you know, 2,000 years ago. You know, they found their savior to follow, their story, their narrative, and they don't need any new truths. They don't need any new facts. They're done seeking, and they're just going to wallow in their great understanding. You know, and it's mockable. It's so, you know, trivially uncredible as a truth, as a story, as a narrative, as a description of reality. It's so horribly insufficient to produce anything called confidence. Shouldn't happen. Nobody should be confident in such a silly, obviously, you know, manufactured for personal gratification kind of thing to just satisfy human-centric desire. And to do it in some formulaic way that deals with the fact that human beings are compulsive, you know, and they need discipline, and they need rules, are their, their desire, their impulses, will compel them to do not nice things. And so you can see all of the crap that's built into it that's just social engineering, you know, that's just made to make you into a good little bug, to make you a more harmless bug. And again, it's just such a bad story. It's so silly. You know, anyway, and so, you know, a whole pile of humans aren't even in the story of doing the truth-seeking. They gave up on that and just picked their little optimism narrative. And it's not even, it's so, you know, it's so bad. I don't know how they could feel optimistic. You know, they keep thanking God for not killing them or torturing them or, you know, imposing disease on them or, you know, all of that. It's all this, you know, bizarre, you know, it's all shield There's no empowerment. They're just some battered wife putting their arms in front of their face and trying to protect themselves from the bludgeoning. You're just saying, how can they find that a great strategy for life? Trying to evade the angry God, the really angry God. Really just wacky. It's just so, and then there's the other people who have done all this, let's find out how it works, let's find out how we work, let's, microscope and telescope and try to ascertain the truth. And again, we have collected more than enough evidence, that the truth is we're bugs, programmed robotic bugs, and that most of the intelligence is only useful in a scheming sense. And if you want to try to do something, like if I want to try to put some other bug inside of here, I'll know I have to drill a hole in it, and it's plastic, and I can figure out, because of this acquisition of knowledge, how to do it, how to accomplish the task. And so it's just a bunch of tools to enhance, task efficiency, and very little of it's being applied to figuring out the meaning truth, the purpose truth, the function truth, the part where you'll realize that all this intelligence given to a monster doesn't make much sense. A desiring, feeding, needing machine. That's not what intelligence should be doing, is just creating tools for some monster to, make a mess with, do all kinds of harm to get what the little trivial gratifications and satisfactions it wants. It's trying to secure, So some of the story isn't bad, though, in the sense that, yes, that's admirable that humans were willing to acknowledge that there's something worth defending. All right, sorry, slight distraction. All right, so seeking, that's what bugs do. That's what we're stuck in. That's our function. Our tools are kind of made for it. I mean, our eyes are constantly looking. I noticed that the other day that I changed something in my environment that I, where I sit and think. And so I could see a reflection, so when a car went by, I would see a little hint of it. And it's triggered, because my brain is always thinking about cats crossing the street and different things. It simulated that. So I kept getting triggered, by this little tiny change. A little tiny piece of the pixels would change. you can just see how that's what we're programmed by. We're just controlled by all these little triggers, these habits, these environmental sensors that are constantly seeking in the environment. It's not even the right word to use, that it's seeking. It's just that's the way it functions. It's just trigger. And what we're triggered by, is what we become interested in terms of, all of that psychological crap of things that'll get what we want, whether it's food or, all of the extensions of whatever success is, finding the leprechaun gold, the pot of booze, the comfort, seeking the comfort. And so this is a whole nother conversation about how you can have different kinds of psychologies. Human beings that are living a very hand-to-mouth kind of existence, where they don't really consider the future. Their goals are very today, just scheme through the day, lie enough to pay your bills in some fake way and get through the day, versus people who are trying to say, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years, and I want to retire to Florida, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And they're sort of, setting up what they're scheming for in terms of those orientations of goals that have to be accomplished if they're going to get somewhere, that they have to have a certain income by, and they have to have this, and they have to take care of that, and, all that kind of crap. And so there, you give them some credit for trying to plan out a life and make sure things are taken care of. What if I drop dead? What happens to the wife and the kids? Have I covered the bases? That's admirable. But still way short of recognizing, why did you step into that mess in the first place? why pretend you can control the game you're playing in any realistic way? So that gets you into this whole conversation about real odds of real shit happening and the stuff that people fear versus the stuff that's more immediate. The stuff that's really going to take them down versus the stuff they imagine as a threat. So you can see some of that when the COVID shows up, or something else, and it becomes the new bogeyman when, you're already in deep shit. There's lots of other stuff trying to kill you. It's only this much of it, and you have a whole bunch of these other little, there's lots of swords of Damocles hanging over your heads. And they focus on the one and lose sight of all the others. And this is it's part of the syndrome, I guess you could call it, of the brain trying to manufacture a game it can play that's not too ridiculous. And so people try to have some sort of habits, ambitions, that are distracting enough and, keep their eyes on the ground rather than on the swords, so they can play. But that's all they're doing. They're just playing, role playing, Borg playing, just being a bug, gnaw your little piece of wood and, blah, 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 blah. Live out your existence in this state of mind that's really just scheming for these trivial what could all be diagnosed to be, if examined and dissected, if you pick apart your ambitions and your desires, it's all trivial, it's all small, bug-minded. There's no big ambition in it. And so it just comes down again to the realization of what's the biggest brain thought thing, the biggest intelligent piece of knowledge you can have is knowledge of that circumstance, that's what your role is as a human being, is that you've been slated to play this bug, to play this bug game. And there's really... there's no option that's going to be fun or gratifying, because, yes, your psychology isn't made to be able to exist in a state of perpetual malaise and depression over the fact that you're stuck in a bad circumstance with a bunch of swords over your head. There's just nothing that's not going to be you win. Okay, it's going to be, yes, you can have integrity as a thinking machine now, because you can be free of the Borg, you can be free of the necessity to create a fake world to live in, to keep you interested, to pretend you're, pretend you're doing the real thing when you're just daydreaming, when you're just like a cat playing with a toy, you know. Some just entertain the senses, just entertain the need to the impulses, the triggers. Just play the game of reward and punishment with a, you know, a bag of mushy psychology. Yeah, it'd be, you know, it's nice to be above that. It can give you a, you know, it's a little ego boost, I suppose. But it'll be a minor reward for the unpleasantness of seeing the blood and seeing the swords and seeing the mayhem and seeing the waste and, you know, fearing it and lamenting. Fearing it's always the bigger word for me because, yes, that's what it comes down to. Is empathy is a kind of personal fear, a personal vulnerability. To see something else harmed is to recognize your own vulnerability, and to have to in some way, you know, reconcile yourself, accept that this is very well what you could be in for, and that's sensibly unpleasant. the whole point is you're just saying, what is okay, we have this tool, intelligence. We only have it because it made us really good schemers. You could argue, I've already made this argument, but obviously the smart people acquire enough means where, you know, when the plague shows up, they can leave town. it's all that kind of evasion of the destruction. And those are all schemes, you know, that you're just applying, using intelligence to gain little advantages over nature. You know, create your suits of armor and, you know, your measure and countermeasure to the game you're in and what the monsters are. You could kind of argue that in the old days the monsters were big, you know, saber-toothed tigers and such. And, you know, in the modern era, the monsters are all little viruses and such. But it's just, yeah, you're just in your little battle with the game of surviving. With a story, you know, a bug strategy, okay, that makes it possible for your prodigy to be in some condition that they will be able to, you know, get to the musical chair quicker than the other bugs and, you know, maintain the code. All right, it's just so many subjects. I mean, there's so much depth you could go into, you know, what can be, what's possible, how this whole bug game could evolve, how you could make changes to it. As I'm sort of implied in the beginning, you know, the intelligence could be built into the DNA, you know, eventually. We could actually, you know, arrive here with, you know, a lot of startup knowledge, you know, where you wouldn't have to be trained, you know, you wouldn't have to learn. You'd already have acquired a certain understanding of certain mechanisms. Now, you could argue we have some of those reflexes at birth, and most animals have a lot more. So you can see that, you know, within a few minutes of birth, you know, some animals are running around, you know, they're ready to go. You know, they're here. It's because it's already built in, you know, how to walk and how to, you know, eat, how to do certain things. You don't have to learn it. And we're probably, because of the fact that we can acquire language and then do this in higher intelligent thing where we can reprogram us to be almost anything. It's probably why we have such an incompetence at birth. you know, is to save space, is to, you know, create as much space as possible for all the conceptual words, the identifiers we're going to have to learn to be literate in describing and navigating even the world in an intelligent way. So again, that's a whole nother subject, language, and just how that's almost everything to, I mean, that's the operating system kind of thing. That's so vital to, you can't really, you know, you can't do anything without it, without that foundational mechanism of having words to manipulate and place in places. That's exactly how we can model reality. So we have to model the reality out of the words. Again, I would argue that the truth is that if you do the model accurately, you're going to come up with a lot of very negative words to describe the circumstance. It is a bleak landscape that we're stuck in, a bleak reality of just being victims to a replicating molecule that doesn't have any intelligent standards, doesn't understand efficiency beyond just winners and losers, doesn't care how many, how much attrition, torture, nastiness is part of, is the recipe for the success of perfecting the weaponry. And it's only a perfection. Again, I've sort of been over this, but I mean, perfection just changes as the game evolves, as the winners change shape. What you have to be a winner changes. And so it's not so much, you're not seeking a fixed target of perfect. You're just seeking the target of the best at this moment in time versus what the competitors are. All you have to do is beat the competitors. All right, now you could turn that into a whole idea of the competition between ideas. And that's another whole big pile of subject. In terms of the ideas that have been successful have to be simple and decisively functional in terms of making you a very good monster. And you could argue that that's what religion does, makes people glib, indestructible, in, you know, horror. They can eat a lot of it. They can watch a lot of their kids die, you know, without getting discouraged, you know, from the function, because they can place this silly fable around it as a, you know, some reason to, well, let's just try again, and we'll just try again, you know, and just keep walking and hearing the little crushing of the skulls, and, you know, it sort of sounds like music to them. You know, Mary had a little lamb, crush, crush. You know, they turn into a little Yankee Doodle song. So they can just keep on Yankee Doodling. It's bleak, you know, in terms of just how stupidly cruel that psychology is. And that's sort of one, okay. I mean, yeah, the German philosophers were supposed to have killed God, but they apparently didn't do a very good job, you know, because it's still here, and in some ways it has, you know, invaded and corrupted science. You know, it's all about, let's go to Mars to find living microbes or something, because, you know, that's the only good reason to go there, you know. It's just, you know, silly shit. You know, has corrupted the agenda for even the people who claim to be defending human intelligence from the blight of the silly fable are now writing the new fables. And, and they're still fables. They're still singularity, sparkly, purpose, function stories, rather than warning signs. Don't let this happen to you. Obviously there's no way to warn, the blob of DNA of a million years ago, or 10 million, or 100 million, or, a billion years ago, I guess would be the better number. No way to warn it, that, watch out, you're in big trouble, you could turn into something that can be tortured. All right. So that just popped into my head, people make these arguments that alien life has to exist because there's so many stars. And again, they still aren't even getting the part where the things that actually started being alive, we're made of them. Okay, we're a colony of them. We're not really alive. We're, by that sense, the DNA molecule has no direct, influence. It's all indirect through, trillions of cells and their organization. I mean, what it's creating is a whole level different than, it's the difference between brick and building. And, how do people think, oh yeah, that's an easy event to transition from being a single cell, with tools, and then some sort of colony of cells that can actually feel and think and produce the grand illusion of consciousness. Because the single cell isn't doing that. The colony is doing it. It's like I could break open the calculator and I could find the chip. The chip is doing it. The rest of the crap is just infrastructure for the chip. The brain. And so you can go on to another whole giant subject. It's what, how unindependent our brain is from the DNA's agenda and the practical fact of what it took to succeed over the last, 500,000 years, that made us, that forms the machine that we are in terms of a knowledge, something that's capable of learning and writing it down, or painting it on a wall or whatever, communicating it to each other and then to the future, giving them a book to read about all that we have discovered. That's a whole different kind of organism than the one, born into an environment and, tooth and claw, just having its, tools to sit there and try to steal its survival and success out of, the success of getting enough to eat and, finding a way to propagate successfully. Creature copies in the social network, the complex network that you have to exist in. Some animals have it easy. They don't have to work as a colony. They just are individuals throughout their whole life. And so it's a less complicated circumstance because they don't have to worry about killing their own brother or some other kind of crap. But anyway, take a break here. See where I go. Yeah. Such. All right, I'm back. So, the thoughts, the images, the stuff in the head. It went for a kind of an ocean metaphor. You know, we're on an island of information, you know, facts. And we decide to go exploring, you know, off our island into a rough and dirty and hostile sea that, you know, is really quite frightening, stormy, and it will kill you. It will, you know, hurt you, deeply hurt you. All kinds of blight and horror out there. People face it, you know, looking for the new world, you know, hoping there's some other continent where life will be better, you know, the sun will shine more, you know, it will be California, you know, and no, it's not going to happen. All you're going to do is sail through the horrible, rough seas of, you know, facts and finding truth, and you're just going to end up back, you know, 50 miles from where you started, you know, and you could have just walked across your island to get to the other side. You didn't need to circumvent an ocean of death and mayhem to do it. You know, that kind of analogy, that there's nothing to find here. We already have an island of enough facts to dissect our circumstance and recognize its futility, and that all we can do is subject ourselves to different varieties of torture, and nothing else will be accomplished. That's all you will do, is create more whipped and less whipped bugs. And that's it. You know, more harmed or less harmed. You know, the less harmed will say, I win. But they're still harmed. They're still more punished than rewarded. And the rewards really are just evading the punishments. So, standing on the island of what we know, okay, I'm just saying that you can dissect the game, and you can recognize that it can't go anywhere because it's not designed to go anywhere. It's supposed to be just a perpetual gladiator war, you know, open 24/7, you know, always the lights are on, and the blood is spilling, and there's nothing to accomplish. There's just to keep putting this soldier against that soldier, the putting us against the environment, or us against each other, or us against the other organisms, or us against the virus, or us against, it's just us against, period. And we play it as a human race, we play it as a nation, we play it as a town, we play it as an individual. And they're all ugly, stupid, unintelligent games to play. And the fact is, it's all just psychological crap, you know, and we should just be watching the sunset and just accept that this needs to be set, okay, be gracefully exit as the sun does. And that's it. There's nothing else to accomplish here but to eradicate the problem, and the problem is us. We carry the torture gene, you know, the capacity to be, and nothing good will take place as long as that thing is subjected to exposure to all kinds of ways of triggering it. You know, just no point. Again, it's all just psychological crap that says there's function or purpose. That's just built into our driving physiology. to keep squirting the go juice into our perception, to keep defending ourselves from the little harms, the whips, and to keep, that's it. It's just a defensive game. There's nothing to win but to swim yourself to the surface of the quicksand, you know, and that's it. There's no other game but eradicate yourself from the mess you've been put in as gracefully as possible without, you know, without sacrificing your own welfare or dignity, in the sense of you don't step on somebody else's face to push your way out. You know, yeah, just do too much harm to too many others, all of that crap, which is another big giant story, right? In terms of what people think and how they go out on rescue missions and they're not really rescuing anybody. It's like giving the starving people the food and without the condoms. You know, there's just no point. You didn't save a life. You created future victims. That's it. I mean, you know, the thoughts that pop into the head. I mean, I can't do much about them. So it had me thinking about the dead cat of last week and the fact that I think it was a female. And, you know, it did run through my head that this is, you know, it's probably a good thing. And it's just not a thought that you want to even go anywhere near. But it's a practical fact. If you stopped it from breeding and stopped it from making more victims, that's a huge win. You know, it really was a monster just waiting to, you know, open another wound, another hemorrhage of suffering into the world. Just a fact. So, you know, the cat obsession. I really don't have an obsession. They're just interesting to... There's something to worry about, so my brain worries about them. But, you know, I saw one yesterday, one of the females, and she was just, you know, you could see she was full of kittens. You know, she was wobbling as she was running across the street. You're just amazed that she's able to keep her balance. And you're just, you know, it's just like, oh, no. What's going to happen to them? What kind of new bad stories are going to be written here? Yeah. And then that makes me think of all the bad kitten stories. And, who needs to do that? So I'll try to stop that process. That's all you're doing. So here we are, you know. Some of the fighting we're doing was with our own psychology and trying to keep our psychology from driving us, into vortexes of doom and gloom, from which we can't even extract ourselves to do our little bit of preaching to the world, saying, please, please, stop throwing things in quicksand. Please, stop it. It's not a good idea. Don't do it. You know, so I would argue that, you know, I mean, I frankly don't see how people can escape the chemistry, you know, the little squirts of hormones that drive people to be purposeful and optimistic, you know, without some kind of knowledge, you know, without some information, you know, to put on the screen as context. Because the tree is pretty, as long as you don't see the blood dripping. You know, the cat is cute, as long as you don't see the dead kittens. I mean, as long as you can, you know, if you're separated from the context, you know, the connected thoughts, and all your connected thoughts are just spiraling, you know, into optimism, thinking about prettier trees, you know, you're not going to be able to see the truth. And there's not going to be anything preventing you from being an insidiously horrid, awful effect on the world and a blight and, you know, all of these things, because there's no way to properly navigate without understanding of these rules. So it could be that somebody doesn't understand something simple like, if your blood all leaks out, you die. And so they think they could play soccer or something and they could hack off somebody's body parts. And, it's just a way of winning the game. You know, and they wouldn't know that, oh, that means they're going to die. And that, people can be really ignorant. What they're spreading, the contagion they carry, maybe. You know, people can do that right now. There's lots of people just, you'd say that all of these threats, to the capacity that we can cause pandemics or some other kind of thing. Well, it's only mostly because too many people are too stupid to understand simple things like, well, if you do get sick, it's not how about how you feel, it's about what you're carrying as an infection. And the fact is you're infectious before you have symptoms and you're infectious after you have symptoms. And that's the key one, right? So, that little bit of knowledge to know that, well, it's not just about when I feel good enough to go out. It's about when I'm safe for other people to be exposed to. And they can't even do that that tiny bit of intelligence. You have to create some airbag. you can't stop the people from doing the stupid things. So you have to create some other mechanism to stop the stupid thing from happening. Some other fail-safe mechanism. But I'm just saying, the problem would be easily solved if people just had applied a little bit of, what should be common sense. But they don't. Let's probably... I'll take a break and see if I can turn this into... if I can go a step further... Yeah, there's just so much, See, the problem is each one of these subjects are psychology versus evolution versus physics versus, they're all different ways of looking at the truth and recognizing, what are realistic metaphors. Like you could even argue the metaphor of the fact that our functionality is basically a relief mechanism. You feel good when you've been relieved of burden, problems are being solved rather than problems arising. And, it just makes sense not to be born into Problemville. That's what we're born into. We're born into a world where there's just going to be problems to solve. The trick is not to make somebody else's problems, which is almost impossible, as stated. If you have a little bit of intelligence, you already understand just how, everything you touch, everything you influence, you don't have control over what that'll turn into. You could leave a knife on your back step, and then that knife could be used to stab some 13-year-old girl in the neck. Your inability to control your influences and to prevent them just by unfortunate circumstance turning into a very negative outcome. So again, you just say hello to somebody. It's dangerous because now they might be, they might spend 30 seconds interacting with you. And those 30 seconds mean they'll cross the street at the wrong time and, some disaster will happen. And then you have to wonder whether, could be a good disaster because, she was pregnant. But it's all a bunch of uncontrollables. And I don't think there's anything more obnoxious to intelligent systems, some intelligence. You want to, even in movies, sort of get that you want to really hurt a computer. You know, you give him a paradox like that, some circumstance where they're supposed to act intelligently, but there's no intelligent plan that can be deciphered from the information that exists. And, you know, so they have a prime directive, pick the right solution, and then they have a practical circumstance where they're not allowed to see what's behind the doors they're supposed to choose. And for us, that's a minor dissidence, because we just say, well, it's not my fault. It's not my problem. I just, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and I'll pick a door and do what I'm supposed to do. Not my problem. So we, you know, find a way to evade responsibility for our actual interaction and our actual influence and our actual, the effects we cause. Incidental, because, oh, we're all supposed to play the open the random door game, you know, even though it lets, you know, Jason loose to cause all kinds of mayhem. It's not my fault, everybody else is doing it, you know, that kind of crap runs the world and such. All right, so, you know, I guess I'll come back for one more. Let's see. All right, back. So, so it's very daunting for me to attempt to say everything I could say about everything I could say something about, you know. Lots of subjects, lots of nuance, lots of triggerable brain rearrangements of the narrative and the story. I could use the football analogy, or the soccer analogy, or the badminton analogy, or the, I don't know, curling analogy, or the, you know, any, I could pick anything and use that as the elements to tell the story. So it's almost an infinite amount of knowledge, in a sense, that you can say the sentence a lot of different ways. You can paint the picture of the trapeze, the, you know, the high wire. You could use lots of different, you know, ways of explaining the jeopardy, the risk, and the pointlessness, and all that kind of stuff. But the basic story, doesn't need all that complexity. Okay, it's just the fact that we can't apply it, and that's sort of my problem, is dealing with the fact that my brain is attempting to find the best way to say it, rather than getting on to the business of just saying it. Is a reasonable strategy, because it's saying, okay, it isn't as simple as me just saying do not God. I mean, I can say it on my website. I can say, come on, I can give you a couple of really simple reasons. It's a silly story. It's invented by fucking humans, for Christ's sakes. How do you have any trust or faith in human beings? What are you, crazy? You think they're crooks and shysters now? Well, they were really bad back then. I mean, they sold their own kids into slavery, for fuck's sake. I mean, they're horrible. Anyway, you believe anything they're trying to tell you? Anything they wrote in a book? Come on. You know, you can't be that silly a person. Anyway, so you can go through all the points about how it's obviously manufactured by human beings. These aren't the words of God, the joke that there probably was 15 commandments and Moses dropped one of them, you know, isn't a bad joke. The fact that the whole 10 commandments thing is kind of stupid, once you say that do unto others as you would have others do unto you, well, haven't you really satisfied the commandments? If you just make that the commandment, aren't you done? Because can't you go to a trial and say, would you want somebody to murder you, to the murderer? And you say, well, no, I wouldn't. You don't need all this crap. And then once you get rid of the religion thing, then you're still stuck with, again, all these people who want to turn it into a good story. I mean, you know, Carl Sagan their way out of the bleak reality. You know, again, Dawkins writes the book The Selfish Gene and then writes the book The Greatest Show on Earth. Yeah, what the fuck? You know, that's not a great show. Genes creating mini-me's, to rip each other's flesh off is not a great show. Come on. Fuck you. Too stupid. But I'm just saying that's the problem, is that people escape the really dumb trap of religion, and they still fall, into some sort of optimism drug. You know, mushrooms are the solution. Yeah. Don't make a better reality. Just delude yourself into believing in a better reality. Reality is what you think it is. all that kind of tripe. So, that becomes another subject of, it shouldn't be that hard. I'm still saying this is a very small island of relevant facts, and it really should be describable. I mean, I should be almost able to pick up each little rock and show it to you and say, see, how do you make anything else out of this? Okay, it's a, here's its elemental thing. It's not gold. It doesn't even look like gold. I mean, why are you calling a little cruddy black rock gold? The bits of knowledge we have are more than sufficient to draw conclusions. Okay, we're bugs, we're programmed, there's no free will, we're just robots, programmed by an environment and circumstances and a little tiny bit of extra knowledge that we acquire, and it's all frickin' inevitable in terms of how it's going to play out. It's just little bits of matter banging into bits of matter by simple rules. And there's nothing here that should be let loose. there's nothing about this circumstance that should be replicated. You don't make bugs. Yeah, you don't sit in your laboratory and say, like, let's see if I can make a bug. It's not a good idea. It's not productive. It won't end well. it won't begin, it won't read, and it won't end well. It'll just waste torture. And that's the simple one to understand, that this sentient faculty is just a huge burden to try to keep it from, being in a state that is horrific. Requires some work if you're going to pretend to be a thinking person, and one that has some respect for the truth. Then you're going to have to accept a lot of thoughts that are quite repugnant to any notion of psychological comfort. it's not gonna be comforting. It's not gonna be warm and soft, and it's gonna be harsh, pointy, nail in your eye grief. But that's the price you're willing to pay to be a real person, to live on the real island, the one that really exists, to appreciate what your obligations are as an intelligence on a planet, and how all of the other beings that are trapped with you are depending on you to save them from their slavery. You do sort of have the keys to their chains. And the key is, don't in any way, encourage or support the procreators. They're just troublemakers. They're problem makers, not problem solvers. they're the virus. They're the blight. So that's probably enough. It's probably right around the right time. Look at that. 1 hour of... island describing. Yeah, the bleak reality. Anyway, till the... I might as well call it that. Anyway, till the next time and such. This has been another series of many other videos. Just trying to explain what, frankly, I'm just saying it's, you know, it's just, I'm as sure of it as I'm sure of, you know, other, this, these descriptions. This is a battery. It has electricity. It has, you know, chemicals in it, well, elements. I can be quite confident in what I'm describing to you. And I'm saying the reality isn't this God, heaven. It isn't singularity fun. It isn't, you know, sparkly energy. It isn't, you know, unicorn farts. It just isn't. It's a bleak reality. All right, anyway, till the next time.